Good morning. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to read again from Fran Hammerstrom's book, Is She Coming Too? Memoirs of a Lady Hunter. Previously, I read the last chapter of this book, the chapter called Biography of a Dancing Ground, about the sharp-tailed grouse, a description of their lives and their barren's habitat folded neatly into a few pages. As I become more familiar with Aldo Leopold's writing and rereading Fran's writing, I realize how much he, her professor, influenced her no-words-wasted style. This chapter is called Dog Days. Fran and her husband Hammy have had bad luck owning dogs, so they have sworn off having dogs. Here, two dogs play a major role in the two stories. This takes place in Wood County, and the area is flat, ancient glacial Lake Wisconsin and full of water, sand, and dense thickets of alders. It's north of the Nisida Wildlife Refuge and drains miles and miles down into it, and the time is the early 40s. Fran was the first woman to earn a master's degree in the young field of wildlife management. She was born in 1907 and died in 1998. Partridges were not on the uplands consuming acorns, so they must be in the alders along the 2 mile. I packed a lunch and stopped at the Idle A While Tavern. May I park my car here for the day? The owner said, sure, but where are you going to be? Hunting the 2 mile. He stopped polishing what seemed to me to be absolutely clean glasses and asked, alone? You figure on hunting the 2 mile alone? Somehow he had made hunting the 2 mile alone sound deliciously dangerous. So I took a very careful look at a map before I started out. The headwaters of the 2 mile branched almost like the limbs of an ancient oak. There were no roads. There were no houses. It was isolated. I hunted upstream and then went off into the woods until about noon. Not one partridge flushed. Not one sign of people. I sat on a windfall and munched my food. Then I started back toward the car, quite sure of my direction, but I'd picked the wrong fork, so I was confronted with a decision: swim the stream or find your way back the way you came. After dipping my hand into the frigid waters of 2 Mile Creek and looking at my beautiful new Russell bird shooters, I decided to spare my boots and find my way back the way I came in. It began to come home to me that this area, not more than 12 miles from home, was indeed isolated. I figured that nobody had been right where I was for maybe 20 years, not right here in these thick alders. A partridge flushed. The Hammerstrom rules are, never shoot unless you can retrieve, but that sound just seemed to cause my gun to swing and go off. Then I heard the bird fall. Alders grow rather close together in wet ground. I worked my way toward the sound and then back and forth, shoving through the bushes, every moment ready to polish off a cripple, and secondarily, keeping my boots rather dry. Actually, it might have made some sense to take stock. How likely am I to find this bird? What's the way back to the car? And what should I do next? Get out of this isolated area before nightfall? I'm a very practical woman. What I needed was a dog. What do you do when you want a dog? You whistle. I whistled. Of all things, a beagle came romping toward me. I yelled, fetch! Don't ever tell me that fetch is no way to speak to a beagle. I rushed toward the spot where I thought I had dropped the partridge, yelling, fetch! Within moments, that beautiful beagle yapped at my bird so I could pick it up. Bird in hand, I got to thinking things over. What sort of a person, deep in the headwaters of the 2 mile, and miles from any road, would suddenly find the need for a dog and whistle? Of course, there was nobody around to hear me do anything so silly, and no dog has ever knowingly obeyed my command. A dog came. Another story by Fran. Ossie Matson, who lived in part of our farmhouse, watched me put my gun and shells in the car. Duck hunting? Yes, over by Bear Bluff. The Matson's big Labrador lumbered toward the car. Take Sarge, Ossie said. Mary thinks he's too old, but once a good retriever, always a good retriever. I had heard Sarge moaning after a day of field and had my doubts. Oss, I said, Sarge won't mind me. Oh, sure he will. Watch this, I opened the door and ordered. Get in the car. Sarge wagged his tail and stood perfectly still. Ossie gave an almost imperceptible signal with the fingers of his left hand, and Sarge scrambled up into the back seat. He stayed there, not exactly exuding eagerness, all the way to Morrison Creek. I parked near the iron bridge, assembled my gear, and opened the back door to let Sarge out. Sarge, come. He raised his head to get a better look at me. Get out of that car. Sarge thumped his tail on the seat. I wanted to say, please come, but it's incorrect to say please to a dog, so I leaned my gun against a tree and lifted Sarge out. He was fat, slightly resistant, and must have weighed 80 pounds. I slammed the door so Sarge couldn't get back in and walk the stream bank without looking behind me. Sarge was following. This triumph made it possible for me to concentrate on ducks. A small gully, slippery with mud, lay across my path, and a moment or so later I could hear Sarge struggling through the mud and up the bank. I rounded each bend with hope in my heart, but no ducks jumped. Then, when the stream got wider and deeper, a greenhead towered out of a little bay. I got it with my second barrel, and it plopped into the current on the far side of the stream. Sarge by now was at my side. He uttered a slight suggestion of a whine, just enough to remind me of his pitiful moans all night when he'd been sent to retrieve in cold water. We looked each other in the eye. The duck drifted downstream, turning in the current. Sit, I commanded, peeling off my clothes. Sit, I yelled as I plunged into the stream. I'd never before swum with a retriever watching. Sit by my clothes. Sarge sat. Thus two dogs have left an indelible impression on my memory. One was the dog who obeyed me when I thought he wasn't there, and the other was the dog who obeyed me when I ordered him to do exactly what he wanted to do. And that's two little dog stories from Fran Hammerstrom. Can you imagine what her life was like with her ambition? This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.